welcome back to Midday on WNYC. I'm Jonathan Capehart. Over the past few weeks, we ask our listeners to nominate the people in their communities who are making a difference for a chance to come on our show. Today, we present part three of our Changemaker series with Ravika Rajkishan, Development Director at the New York Immigration Coalition, as well as the president of the Southwest Brooklyn Democrats, which is a political organizing group in Sunset Park, bringing women, immigrants, and the undocumented into the local political process. She also started the group Love Trump's Hate, which organized dinners and gatherings to connect immigrants with lawyers who can help them with legal services. Ravika Rajkishan, welcome to Midday.
Thank you for having me.
Were you surprised to get the invitation to be on the show that someone out there nominated you?
I was very surprised and felt undeserving because there's so many people who are doing wonderful things in my neighborhood, and I think there's actually a lot of people who should be on the show.
So, well, you are here.
Okay.
And we're going to talk about you. And I want to, there's so much on your resume, but let's start with your own past, because it seems that your past is a strong link to what you're doing today. Talk about your family's story of immigrating to the U.S.
So I was born in Guyana, which is a small country in South America. My parents moved to the U.S. when I was 8 years old without my sister and I to really try to earn enough money to get us here. 2 years later, when I was 10, my sister and I made the journey to Brooklyn, where I've lived since then. We moved to Bushwick in the middle of the seventh grade is where I started.
In the middle of the seventh grade, yeah. Coming to new country, new school system. How difficult was it to navigate the New York school system?
Very difficult. I had a heavy accent. Junior high is not an easy place for anybody, much less someone who's coming from a very different country, who's used to being outdoors all day and playing with friends that you know. So it was very difficult, and I think I dealt with a lot of the things that children in junior high, but especially immigrant children, might deal with, not having friends right away, feeling that you're not part of your school community.
And how did you first hear about Brooklyn Tech?
So I had a math teacher named Mr. Paris who thought I was talented and was smart enough to apply to Brooklyn Tech. And that was a great opportunity. And he suggested to my parents and myself that I should apply. And I took the test and I got in. But I think what's extraordinary about that is that we didn't know anything about the specialized high schools. We didn't know about the system. And again, I think if a lot of families don't know about the system, the educational system, then they miss that opportunity. And that was a life-changing opportunity for me.
And then college? How'd that come up? How did the subject of college come up in your family?
So I'm actually the first person in my family to go to college. So again, new landscape for us, and the help that I got at Brooklyn Tech really set that stage for me. I ended up going to Barnard on academic scholarship and financial aid. Again, another life-changing opportunity for me. And that also led to my work in nonprofit, because there is where I learned about volunteerism. There's where I got first exposed to volunteering in a homeless shelter. And that really led my career. And I've worked in nonprofit my sort of entire career.
So let's fast forward to the New York Immigration Coalition. When did you start working there? Working with them?
So here in my professional work at the New York Immigration Coalition, I came here as a volunteer. Post-election, I reached out to the organization. I reached out to our executive director, Steve Shore.
Post-2016 election?
Yes.
Presidential election.
Presidential election. And I said, I have this skill set. I work in fundraising, and I've been doing so for a long time, and I really enjoy it, and I'm good at it. How can I help the New York Immigration Coalition? And I came on as a volunteer in addition to everything else I was doing, including working professionally elsewhere. And then I came on to help with our Rapid Response Fund, which got deployed post-election, again, post-federal election, to help our membership. We're a membership-based organization with 200 members across the state to help them with funding, and I helped to fundraise that initial funding.
So when people hear about nonprofits, they think about the actual work that the nonprofit does, but I don't think a lot of people think about everything that you're talking about, and that's the fundraising, the raising of the money that helps finance the hard work that nonprofits do. Do you think, why don't you think people understand that, that fundraising is an integral part of an organization?
Well, few people like to ask other people for money.
I know that.
In fact, love it, though. I love to ask other people for money for things that are important to me, for things that make a difference. And I learned something really early on that when I asked for money, I didn't ask for myself. You know, it wasn't like I was going to go out and buy new shoes with them. It was to make a difference in my community and that I was giving people an opportunity to be part of that. You know, I like the logistics of behind-the-scene work as of a nonprofit like fundraising. We do quite a bit of fundraising. You all do quite a bit of fundraising.
Yes, to keep the lights on and the mics on.
Exactly.
Absolutely. Yeah. I'm Jonathan Capehart speaking with Ravika Rajkishan, Development Director at the New York Immigration Coalition. Let's go back to the 2016 campaign, because as you said, it was as a result of that that you went to the Immigration Coalition and said, I want to do more. I want to work. What was it about that campaign that sort of lit the fire under you?
So I live in Sunset Park. I live in a diverse neighborhood. Neighbors are coming from all over the world. My best friends, my closest friends are coming from places like Mexico and Guatemala and India. And we just saw so much fear in our community and so much need, and I wanted to use my professional skills to help in that way. I had not worked necessarily on immigration services or advocacy and policy issues before that, but I thought this was a great opportunity to really get into it. And we're seeing that with so many people who are now stepping beyond their many responsibilities, professional responsibilities, and families and community to do even more than they're doing. And that's where, that was what sort of propelled me to do that.
How has the tenor and tone of the conversation, maybe even the fear that was felt during the 2016 campaign, how has that transformed now that we're a year and a couple months into the Trump presidency?
I don't think it's changed that much. I think, you know, we could get into that it's become sort of more normalized, but I don't think so, because the organizing work continues in my neighborhood and beyond. My organizing work continues. So for people who work in this industry, we're not just sort of accepting and moving on that this is the way we're living these days. I think for many of us, it helps us to really dig even deeper and be more strategic.
How did you start the organization Love Trump's Hate?
So that is sort of one of my great loves, I feel like. And this happened right up post the election. And again, seeing the fear in my neighbors and wanting people to know that there's so many people who care about them, who care about immigrants, who care about undocumented immigrants, who care about other people who felt fearful. So we had this idea that maybe if you're undocumented, you did not want to just go to a public forum and declare yourself undocumented and ask for help or services that you needed. Why not bring that inside, and why not make it about community? Why not make it, you know, one of the things that immigrants love, eating together? You know, why not make it about food and companionship? And so the first dinner was held actually in my home. And people were surprised that we were willing to open our home to them. And
how many people are we talking?
So in the first dinner, I think we had about 20 people. And we also had a local group that provides immigration services come in and talk about a lot of things, access to legal services. What do you do to prepare if ICE comes knocking on your door? What do you do with your documents? What do you do with your children? And these are all sort of really heartbreaking topics that no one really wants to discuss openly and at open forums. And since then, the dinners have rotated around the neighborhood. It's actually a rotating dinner.
Monthly.
A different family agrees to host us. We get a meal train online. People donate food, drinks, chairs, whatever we need. And people continue to show up to them. And we've really done, we wanted to be really careful about security. You know, no one was going to, you know, really respond to a Facebook invite to something like this.
So how did you get the word out?
It is purely word of mouth. We talked to PTAs. We talked to moms in the streets. We talked to churches. And that's how we spread information.
So in addition to the Immigration Coalition and Love Trump's Hate Monthly Dinners, you also chaired the reelection campaign of Carlos Menchaca. Was that your first foray into New York City politics?
It was. And I was really shocked that Carlos asked me in the first place because I was not politically involved. I was more interested in the community engagement and advocacy piece of my work. But I think he very much is interested in women of color stepping into politics and learning about how campaigns run. And so, yeah, that's one of the many things that I worked on.
So how did you, how did you meet him? How did he come to you? I mean, you're very self-deprecating, Ravika. I mean, clearly he saw the work you were doing in the community and thought, I want her to work on my campaign, even though she's never worked on a campaign before. How did you meet him? Did he come to you?
He did, and Carlos and I have known each other since Sandy, because
Superstorm Sandy.
Superstorm Sandy, and we worked together in Red Hook volunteering. And after the storm, many of us from Sunset Park just got on our bikes or got down there somehow and provided all kinds of volunteer service and helping with the cleanup. And so Carlos and I met there, and you know, we've continued to work on various things in the community.
Have you ever considered running for office yourself?
No, I have not.
And you couldn't see it. There was no hesitation at all. You were shaking your head, but no, before the words no came out of your mouth. Why not?
I love my work now. I love working in my community. I love my job at the New York Immigration Coalition. I'm surrounded by brilliant, hardworking, kind, generous, funny people. And I think that this is where I belong. This is what I'm good at.
Now, but you also started the Southwest Brooklyn Democrats. I mean, I can't keep up with all the stuff that you do. So even though you don't want to run for office yourself, you are doing all of these things and setting up organizations that propel other people to run for office. Why not you?
Again, I think there are brilliant people in my neighborhood, brilliant women of color, and I want to see a woman of color run for city council and other offices in my neighborhood, and I think that there are much better people there than me who have been organizing for a really long time in my neighborhood. And that's the vision of this political club. We want everyone from the neighborhood to come together to be the voice of who's going to represent us. So many of other aspects of our life trickles down from who represents us, from funding for schools, for funding for our nonprofits, and just having someone stand by us during these very difficult times. And I'm adamant that the club forever should have women of color leadership. I'm also adamant that the leadership also has someone who's multiple people who are undocumented. I see a lot of people, women of color, undocumented women showing up in my neighborhood and working hard at everything, at events, but I want them to not only work hard at all the activities that happens in my neighborhood, but I want them to actually have leadership roles.
What, this is the first political organization in Sunset Park?
It is our first assembly district-wide political organization, so That's a lot to carry.
And how many people are we talking about involved here?
So our membership is about 75 people.
That's a lot of people.
Right now. And definitely want to grow that more, but also grow it in a very organic way. You know, we have usual voices that appear at everything and who might have political power already. But what we want to do is gain political power for people who don't naturally think that they should be in politics.
Last question in like 30 seconds. What advice would you give people who are considering entering the world of politics for the first time?
I would just say do it because you love your community, that should be your driving force, that people will rely on you and you have to have a love of community and being there.
Ravika, I know you shook your head. No, you don't want to run for office, but I guarantee you might be back here in front of that microphone in some time because the people in your community are demanding that you come from out of the from behind the scenes and represent them. I've been speaking with Ravika Rajkishan, Development Director at the New York Immigration Coalition, as well as the president of the Southwest Brooklyn Democrats for our Changemakers series. It was wonderful meeting you. Thank you for being here.
Thank you for having me.